to say. But ahead of that, a crowd of almost 2,500 defied the poor weather conditions last night to travel to the showgrounds in Sligo for the League of Ireland top versus bottom of the table clash. Our reporter Mike McCartney went along to speak to the grassroots supporters to get their views on the current league format and what changes they'd like to see.
It's Saturday night, 8 p.m. It's been a wet and damp afternoon, but big numbers have travelled from Dublin to support Shamrock Rovers in their battle against Sligo Rovers tonight. How long have you been coming here to the showground supporting Sligo Rovers?
1964.
And you've seen a lot of changes in that time?
Oh, an awful lot, yep. A lot of clubs have come and gone, like we're still here. Like the first club I ever saw playing here was Drumcondra. There has been a lot of changes, like we have a grand ground here now and it's been well supported, you know.
And how come Sligo, that the supporters here are so loyal to the club compared to other clubs that have come and gone?
Well, we love it, like, we love it, you know, and no matter up or down, like, if we were in the first division, we still got the big crowds here, you know, and we love it, like, just love it, actually.
What about the change from when we used to gather at the grounds in the winter time to what it is now? Should they have changed?
No, I don't think so. I still prefer a Sunday or a Saturday game. Yeah. Midday or 3 o'clock kickoff. Yeah. Or leave it in the winter, because it's winter all the time now anyway. But I used to love a good frosty night. You got better football, I think.
What know? About the league format at the moment? Would you like to see maybe three or four divisions in the league? Or are you happy with the format the way it is now?
No, there isn't enough in the Premier. We should have just a home and away. I think there should be back to 16 in this Premier, you know. Like, you're not getting a chance. You have only about four clubs any good in this country at the moment, you know. You can't beat Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk at the moment now, you know. I think they're very good, actually.
So it's a bit like two-tier because you're out in the northwest.
We're out in the northwest, but it's all here to get players down here anymore, you know. We're going to stay with it anyway. We're going to enjoy this tonight. We may hold them, but if we don't, we get destroyed.
Another Sligo Rovers fan, is this a family affair? I see you've got the lads with you.
Yeah, it is for sure. My son is playing at half-time. He plays for Ballester United, so the group have them in, so they love coming into the matches, yeah.
Are you a regular here at the showgrounds?
I would. Between myself and my husband now, we get them into most of the matches, yeah. We're local from Killooney.
Your name is Danielle. You've travelled all the way down this damp evening to support Shamrock Rovers. What is it about your club and how long have you been supporting them?
I've actually been supporting them since about 1993, and the last couple of years myself and my daughter have been travelling to all the home and away games, and we started off the season so well, so, you know, keep coming and keep supporting and hope they keep the winning streak up.
Now, for somebody who's been supporting them for nearly 27 years, are you happy with the league format or would you like to see a change in any way?
No, I mean, I'm quite happy with the way it is at the moment, I suppose, yeah, because we're winning at the moment, but yeah, kind of see how all the other teams get on and how the first division and stuff, how they do, and kind of take it from there.
And of course you've got a foot in each division as well too. Would you like to see a few more divisions?
Yeah, obviously we'd love to see the whole Irish League grow, and if we could some way develop it and obviously bring more kind of development sides in and get them ready for the whole senior and Premier League, it'd be great to see.
How long have you been supporting Shamrock Rovers?
First game was in Milltown in 1977. Johnny Giles was player manager, and then I started going regularly in 81, and I'm sort of coming ever since.
And you would have travelled the whole country because Shamrock Rovers had moved home so many times?
The whole of Europe and the whole of the country. Yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
Just looking at the changes that have happened over the years in the league, are you happy with the league format at the moment?
Yeah, it's a bit boring with playing each other four times, in my opinion. But it's, I suppose, the best we can... At the minute, the clubs that are strong enough are in the Premier Division, and there's not many outside of that should be in it, in my opinion.
And what do you think should be done to maybe bring other clubs in from around the country?
I'd like to see just one senior division, one Premier Division, and then maybe introduce the ITs and let them play out the first division with the weaker teams, I think. And I think that would give more young lads a chance to play in the league if they brought the likes of Sligo IT, Carlow IT, Tralee. You know, there's football could be played around the country at a high standard, but doesn't get the opportunity.
How long have you been following Rovers? That's Shamrock Rovers, of course.
72. I'm from Milltown originally, St. Colin Bannett Road. So I went down as a kid on my own with a few friends. So I'm still here.
Are you happy with the league format?
I'm not. I don't agree with this playing four times. I hate it. Once each, you know, play home and away, and that was great. it's too familiar now, and it's killing crowds as well, I'd say.
What about the fact that you've got a club now in the first division as well, Shamrock Rovers?
Well, I've been to see them, and I'm very impressed, and they've held their own. They were only lost 1-0 to Cabinteely last night in the last minute, and they drew with Galway in terrible conditions. It's good because we can give young lads a game where we were losing them. There was nothing for them to do or nowhere for them to go. So, basically, it's great, you know, and we can keep a couple of lads fit as well. And we're attracting crowds to the first division clubs that mightn't want to go. It might be our B team, but it's still Rovers.
The League of Ireland was a much different outfit when Chris Rutherford came to Sligo all those years ago.
1975. It was like a good part-time league at that time. We were the only team that were full-time professionals at that time. But like the Shamrock Rovers and Johnny Giles as manager, and, you know, there's some great players. So it was difficult enough. Bohemians had some great players, Jackie James and etc. And, you know, it was a tough division. Anyone you played in Dublin, it was a real good, very, very good game.
Chris, you came from Cardiff City, and that must have been some change.
It was a massive change. At the time, we were only 20. Like, I was lucky enough to come over with a friend of mine who played for, was captain of Sligo Rovers, a fella called Graham Fox, and we settled in. We had lovely digs. And
when you look at the club now, it's almost 100 years old. I suppose you say it did well to survive all those years because it's so far away from the big urban capitals.
The way I look at it, there's a lot of great players I would have played with, but there was an awful lot of fantastic committee people and people who sell tickets for Sligo Rovers, and they were mad for Sligo Rovers. They've kept it's a community club, and they've kept it going. And they, please God, in the future, the next generation will look after it the way the other people have.
You came here in the 70s, and you've seen all the changes down the year. Are you happy with the league format with two divisions? Would you like to see three or four?
The problems I'd have is when they're playing so many games in a week. If you play three games in a week for a couple of weeks, that's not fair. Like, you know, it's like one game a week is enough. Two is not too bad. But when you're coming into three in one week, all of a sudden they're dropping like flies.
Last year, Sligo Rovers finished seventh on the league table, and the club broke even financially, also covering the debts incurred in previous years. David Rowe is the club's treasurer, and he says much is due to the loyalty of the local supporters, and the budget was again increased this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extraordinary club. We're unique in the league in terms of how we're financed. We almost raised 500,000 in voluntary fundraising last year, which is like a, you know, I'd say there isn't a club raising, another club raising half that. Sligo's a town of 17,500 people plus surrounding county. So in terms of the local community support and the local community identity with the club, it's absolutely massive. We couldn't, you know, on our population base, we should not have a full-time professional club here. So, you know, we're privileged. It's hard work. We do extraordinary things to raise money, all sorts of initiatives. We always have something going on. But yeah, we broke even last year, which when you finish seventh is a fair achievement. So we're pleased with that.
92 years on the go, and of course it's been a tough start to the season so far. It's early days yet. Ideally, you'd like to qualify for Europe. That would really look after your finances. But it's not. Is it in the club's mind at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose it's one of our targets for this season. Now, obviously, yeah, we've only three games played, and you know, the holy grail is Europe, though. Like the lower competition, the Europa League, generates 260,000 per round. So if you get two or three rounds, you know, that's a very significant amount of money. So, you know, at the moment we want to get a few points on the board and get ourselves up into mid-table and then be looking upwards up the table rather than down. But yeah, it is in our, it's not in our sights at the moment, but it's in our target for the season. Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you're up in the northwest, a long distance from Dublin, Galway's down the road a good few miles on that, has that ever been a hindrance to getting players to come here?
Yeah, it has. I mean, the population base isn't here. We bring in a lot of players. We bring in players from all over the world. We have a full-time setup. Most of the players are in Dublin. It's hard to persuade an established Dublin player to move to Sligo. You need a whole pot of things to come right in that. In addition to that, we can't really pair part-time jobs with, you know, soccer as the Dublin clubs can, and we have to pay the accommodation costs, you know, for anybody that comes here. So yeah, there's a whole pile of you know, drawbacks to that. But you know, in spite of all that, there's a lot of advantages as well. It's a very close-knit community. The team all tend to live in, you know, they share houses, and you know, different groups of two and three players. It tends to be a lot more cohesive as a result. So there's pluses and minuses to that, but yeah, geography is definitely a factor.
And it's ended in a win for Shamrock Rovers. They've beaten Sligo Rovers by 3-2. You're a Rovers supporter for how many years?
Way back to 1968.
Would you travel regularly to games?
Oh yeah, as regularly as I can, yeah.
So tonight's game, it didn't matter about the journey or the weather or the rain, you're glad you came here?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah, no problem with that, no problem with that. I love the trouble.
Yeah.
Can't be the trouble.
Are you happy with the league format the way it is this year?
5 out of 5. Can't go wrong there, can't go wrong there. And this is their league for the this is their year for the league.
Yeah.
We put it up to Dundalk last week. We won tonight. That's all we want to do.
And you have a team in the first division as well?
Shamrock Rovers number 2, yeah.
Would you like to see other teams from rural parts?
I don't think you have the teams for that now, to be honest with you, the capacity that far. I think the setup at the moment is pretty good. First division's a bit, if you like, it's all over the place at the moment, travelling wise, but that's the way it is. If you can make it into this league, the Premier League, I'll have it.
Do you travel with Rovers around the country?
All over the country, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of the game tonight?
Oh, it was good, yeah. It's great to win up here. Long time since we won up here, you know.
And the fact that when you moved back to Tala, has that done more for the club?
Yeah, at least we have a home now, you know what I mean? We have a base and that's it. This is the law. What does that tell you?
As like a Rovers fan, you follow your team all over the country, do you?
I do indeed.
Yeah. A bit disappointed are you tonight?
But we put up a good show and we can be proud of them.
How long have you been supporting Rovers, Sligo Rovers, that is?
Oh, a long time. I don't want to give my age away, but yeah, a long time.
And what is it that attracts you to them?
Well, it's a community football team. I started, my granny would have been here, my father, right through all the generations. And it's a soccer town, Sligo.
Where would you like to see the league going? Would you like to see more teams coming in? Would you like to see 2 or 3 more divisions?
I'd like to see more money being put into it first anyway, down through the country and not just in Dublin. I would be involved with Sligo Rovers fundraising. So like what everybody sees here, we have fundraised. We got no help from the FAI through the years.
And what would you like to see the FAI do for you?
Well, help upgrade more of the facilities that the grounds has in Dublin. We're fundraising constantly.
Yes, some great points raised there by fans on the road. Mike McCartney report. Thanks, Peter. Back here in studio, Alan Cawley is with me to talk through the new start of the League of Ireland season. We are 5 games in, and so far it's been pretty entertaining, Alan.
Yeah, so far so good, Jackie. It has largely down to the fact that we've had an unbelievable game, probably one of the best games in League of Ireland history, obviously with the Shamrock Rovers Dundalk game last week. Lots of talk about it, lots of talking points in the game. Of course, the Flores goal and the world we live in nowadays with social media.
Over 5 million
going
views.
Viral, yeah.
It's insane.
And the goal was incredible. I was there on the night, Jackie, and it was one of them moments where in the crowd, everybody, you're sitting around, you can just feel the gasp as soon as he struck it and it hits the net, you're like, wow. And there was a real gasp amongst everyone, almost one of them moments where, did that really happen? Like, wow, what a goal. And then you look back on the replays and it just looks amazing. And the game itself was brilliant as well. That was obviously the highlight of it, but Jack Byrne scored a brilliant goal not long after that. And if Flores hadn't scored a goal, everybody would have been talking about Jack's goal, but that was kind of
even Jack, though, said Flores' goal was better.
That was amazing.
And his goal, I was saying to you off air, was ridiculous too, but yeah. I think the Flores goal is one of those standout moments that genuinely worldwide fans who love football love to see.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like if we see a goal from any other league, or you know, you usually see the clips doing the rounds online from no matter what league, everybody tunes in and says, what a goal. But to have one, obviously, in our league here, it was a brilliant moment, and it was brilliant that it came so early in the season as well, because as I say, there was a lot of optimism going into the league this year. It was the first season, I suppose, that we had the league under the new regime, or the new FAI as we see it, and there's been a lot of talk about it in terms of where the league is going and a lot of change maybe about to happen, and there's a lot more focus on the league. So I think for us to get a game as good as we got that night in Tala, largely down to the two teams, it wasn't just Shamrock Rovers. Dundalk played their part, they were brilliant on the night as well, and they've of course been the standard bearers for the last 4 or 5 years. I think it just, for anyone who wasn't tuning in or who wasn't maybe looking as closely as what we do to the league, maybe they just stood back and thought to themselves, on top of all the talk that's happening around Niall Quinn and the new regime as well, maybe they thought to themselves that yeah, there maybe is something in this league, and hopefully if the right people get behind it, and if we were to promote it and market it and present it the way it should be, there is huge potential here. And I suppose that game did highlight that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the marketing does come down to having something to market. And something like that, I mean, like, you don't have a better marketing tool than showing people a goal like that. So even you have the likes of FIFA were tweeting about it. Didi Amman said it was the goal of the century. When you see that kind of thing, what does that do for the league in real terms? Like, genuinely, do you think it is going to have an impact?
It has to have an impact, Jackie. I really think it does. But I suppose to temper that a little bit as well, you can't market the league on just one game. And there's no point in us saying, as good and all as that game was, there's no point in us saying that's the standard across the league, because it isn't. I was at a game Friday night, St. Pat's and Cork City, and no disrespect to those teams. And of course, they don't have the squads and the budget maybe of a Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers. But I'm not expecting them to be as good as Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, but I am expecting them to be at a level, and they were nowhere near the level of what I'm expecting them to be at, two full-time teams. It was very, very poor standard. So they're the ones that obviously need to come up another little bit, because not only was the Flores goal amazing, but the general standard of play on the night between the two teams as well was absolutely outstanding, both from a tactical point of view and from a technical point of view. And I suppose, like every league, Jackie, you have two or three teams who are at the top, and you have the other teams down the bottom and the middle of the table, and it's about them trying to get themselves up to that level. I just felt watching the game the other night, and there's been a couple of games maybe like that as well, I just think the clubs need to improve a lot more than maybe where they're at the moment, because if they are full time and if we are to shout from the rooftops about the league and get it to a point where we feel as though everybody should be watching it, standards need to improve in certain aspects in most clubs, I would have to say. And that's off the pitch as well, because again, going back to that game, it was played in a lovely backdrop of Tallaght Stadium as well, in front of a huge crowd. So as a spectacle for the TV as well, it looked great. But we have games on TV and you're saying to yourself, come on, is this the best that we have in terms of the facilities as well? So people are aware of that, and everybody knows it needs to improve. And as I say, now with Niall Quinn on board and all the talk about the League of Ireland hopefully being at the forefront of all the future discussions and the future plans, you would like to think that facilities will be improved as well, because that needs to happen.
Yeah, and like, that's an immediate problem. I mean, you even had a situation this year where there was a televised game that had to be pulled because, I mean, look, the storms happen and we've had horrific weather. I think anybody who's looked outside their door knows that. But down in Daly Mount, game called off because the gantry was unsafe for people to work in. So something needs to be done immediately for these grounds if we want, because you can't have one without the other. You can't have the TV coverage if you don't have a ground that can facilitate that either.
Of course, Jackie, and I've been banging the drum about this for a long time. The facilities is the first thing that needs to improve. Like, if we're to get, because the football, the stuff that's going on the pitch, like, it really is getting better and better, as we know. And obviously we had Cork for a long time there, going toe to toe with Dundalk, who really set standards. Dundalk, of course, who have been at the top of the pile for a long time now and really setting standards and pulling away from the rest. Now you have the rivalry built up with Shamrock Rovers, who have been progressing year on year, and they're at a really, really high level. So the stuff that's happening on the pitch is really, really good, and it is getting better and better all the time. But the facilities are stalling, and they're standing still, and they've been standing still for a long, long time. Bar a couple of grounds, like, I watched a match last night now down in Sligo against Shamrock Rovers, and the showgrounds looks immaculate. And I know a lot of people involved at the club there, and they've been doing amazing work over a period of time, not just in the last few months, over a long period of time. And you look at the ground that they have now, and that's presentable for any league. But all the clubs need to be at that level, Jackie. And of course, they need help and they need investment as well. But I do think the facilities need to improve massively.
The problem you mentioned there for the likes of Sligo Rovers, and I've been down there at the showgrounds as well, it's an amazing ground, but they are at the foot of the table, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, the last thing you want is a club like them. I'm not saying it's very early in the season, but I'm not saying they're going to be in relegation bother. But judging on this early evidence, you'll say that they're going to struggle in this league. And what we don't want is the likes of a Cork or a Sligo Rovers, where there are really good grounds there, that maybe these clubs are the ones that are struggling.
Yeah,
know?
Well, a good friend of mine texted me on, was it Thursday or Friday? He happened to be in the showgrounds, and he came out. It was obviously looking immaculate with getting ready for the game on Saturday. And he said, this will be the best ground in the first division. Now, it was a little bit in jest, and he was kind of half joking, but there is a fear that that may happen, because you look at them at the moment, they've had a dreadful start. And before we came on air, Jackie, just talking to yourself just about a couple of the grounds, the other team who I would have a real fear for is Cork City. And if you were to go through all the grounds in the league, the three best grounds that we have is Tala, Turner's Cross and the Showgrounds. So if you were to lose one of them as well, with the brilliant stadium and ground that they have, it would be a massive loss, not just off the pitch, on the pitch as well, because they're huge clubs, so we don't want to lose any of them. But certainly from a football point of view, Sligo Rovers have played four games now, they haven't won any, they've no points. They scored their first couple of goals last night, but they were well beaten. I know the scoreline may look as though it was close enough, but in the first half, Shamrock Rovers should have been out of sight. They were miles ahead of Sligo Rovers. Second half, Sligo Rovers did put up a bit more of a fight, but they were comfortable in the end, Shamrock Rovers. I know the late goal maybe may look as though it was a bit tight, but it wasn't. You look at Cork City, who I watched on Friday night against St. Pat's, and they're unrecognisable, Cork City, from the Cork City that we have known over the last 4 or 5 years. And Neil Fenn, who I know really well, and when he got the job, I was delighted for him, but I'm just not sure how aware he was of just where things are at Cork City at the moment, because you look at the team and the squad that he's had to cobble together on a limited budget as well. And again, talking about the quality, where I'm saying that you need to be at a certain level, they're nowhere near the level.
And financial difficulties away from it all as well. What about, you mentioned Niall Quinn. I mean, in a lot of ways, people see him as the great white hope in some ways. I mean, he's talking a really good game about what he wants to do with the League of Ireland. His vision is very clear, and I think anybody who's seen him speak, it's very admirable what he wants to do. But in real terms, what can he do in the short to medium term to get this thing on the ground, to make sure that the league is sustainable and that he is making progress here?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jackie, and I suppose he probably is being seen as that great white hope. But in fairness to him, I think, as he said himself in a couple of interviews, it was easy for him to stand on the ditch and talk about certain things, but he's after going diving straight in and getting involved, and he's looking to make change. And I think he genuinely is looking to make change. And from people who I know who are well up in the game, who know him quite well, he's genuine, very genuine in the fact that he wants to make change. And I think, to be fair to him, he's been away for such a long time, and I know people will say, well, he doesn't have that League of Ireland background, but he has had dealings in terms of bringing players from here over to clubs. And I think he has realised, since he's been back home himself, that there is massive potential here, and that this league has been neglected for such a long, long time. And at times, I know we used to shout about it, and it was almost come to the point where you'd nearly feel to yourself, is anybody listening? And then you got to the point where you, myself included, you were kind of saying, should I continue just to bang this drum? Like, or do people even care? But I think he has noticed himself that there is massive potential in the league here. And the fact that it's the highest level that you can play at in the country here, and to think it's been neglected so badly, because I'm not comparing it to the likes of the Premier League or any other big leagues. You're comparing it to nations of a similar size to us in the Scandinavian countries and the like. And the investment that's gone into the leagues at a domestic level in their countries, they're a good 20, 25 years ahead of where we should be. And that's talking in terms, again, of the stadia and the infrastructure and all those things that they have going for them around the league. We're, as I say, 25 years behind where we should be in that regard.
And look, you have seen teams going on European runs. Like, you know, so when we do go up against our equivalents in some of those Scandinavian countries, we have actually shown that we can compete at that level, as you rightly say.
Absolutely, Jackie. And a lot of that has been done in spite of the FEI, rather than with the help of the organisation in recent times. Because you look at the run that Dundalk went on and getting to the group stages, that was purely down to Stephen Kenny and his staff and the work and everything that was going in for. I think it was Frank Gavin that said at the time that was the environment that they created. It wasn't the environment that they created. Dundalk done that purely down to Stephen Kenny as a manager, the squad that he had built up, the work that went on behind the scenes in terms of the research and researching other teams, and the ability that they had to go out and play at that level and give an unbelievable account of themselves, which they did. And if you look at Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, and as I say, going back to that game that we saw a couple of weeks ago, the standard that they're at, I have no doubt they'll compete again at that European level and go maybe through, I would say you'd be hoping to go through a couple of rounds anyway, if not further, because they're at a seriously high level. But going back to the argument of the other teams and getting them to that level, it's the whole picture that you need improved to get them all up to some sort of speed. And it is hard, to be fair, because people now are looking at it and thinking, and before a ball was kicked, you're looking at it thinking it's a two-horse race here, which it was always going to be. It's already materialised after only 5 rounds of matches that them two teams are by far ahead of the rest, and they will be throughout the whole course of the season. And even we were in Derry doing the game against Finn Harps a couple of weeks ago, and I have serious sympathy for the likes of Declan Devine and maybe Keith Long and those managers that are trying to bridge that gap, because the problem a lot of those clubs have, Jackie, is where you have Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk have been building over a continuously period of time, 3, 4, 5 years, and getting to the point that they're at such a good level, both on and off the pitch, that they can offer their players 2 and 3 year contracts, and they have that continuity going through the club, and they'll always have that consistency in terms of their squad, and that you only have to add maybe 1 or 2. The other clubs, the likes of the Derry, who did so well last year under Declan, he lost his 5 best players at the end of the season because other teams come in to take them. They're maybe only on a 9-month contract. It's easy for them to walk away free. Sloggett went to Dundalk. You had the lad Junior went off playing. I'm not sure where he actually went to, but you had Parkhouse went back to Sheffield United, who scored the goals for them last year. So it's really, really difficult for them to bridge that gap. The only way I see them bridging the gap is if they were to qualify for Europe, the likes of Bowes and Derry, who did it last year, maybe accumulatively over 2 or 3 year period and build up that European money, that they'll be in a position that they could then offer the players maybe the 2 or 3 year contracts, that you're building squads that are there over a long period of time, that you're only having to add 1 or 2, rather than the turnover of, like, Pats, I think, Stephen O'Donnell got rid of 10 players and had to bring in 10 new players. So it's very, very hard for them clubs, but that's the situation that you find themselves in, and it is difficult.
And look, I mean, lastly, we do have to finish up here, but, like, finance is at the back of all of this, Alan. You know, it's at every single one of these clubs, whether it's at the top, they're trying to push on to the next level, or whether they're even trying to get to that table in the first place. And all of this is backboned against a financial crisis that is continuing within the FAI. Mm. So these are difficult times as well for the league.
Of course they're difficult times, but I think the one thing you'll find out about the clubs and the league in general here, Jackie, as we all know, is they've been fighting fires for an awful long time. They really have, so they're well used to that. And that's why I think, as you said, Niall Quinn coming in, that finally there's a bit of hope, because the clubs feel now as though maybe there is somebody who's interested in actually trying to help things here. As I say, it's okay, all the sound bites and what we've heard so far has all been good, but it's action now that the teams need to see. And look, it's unfair to think Niall Quinn or the FAI are going to all of a sudden build 5 or 6, 7 new stadiums and everything's going to be brilliant. This is going to take time. But the fact that he's saying all the right things at the moment, but you just want to see action and all that kind of talk at the moment carried out for the league to improve and get better.
All right. Well, we shall see. I'm sure this won't be the last time we'll have this discussion. Alan, thanks a million for coming into studio. Enjoyed your company.